Welcome back to another episode of All or Nothing in Real Estate. I'm your host, Matt Smith, the founder of All or Nothing in Real Estate. As a reminder, this podcast is a movement to give back to this amazing industry. It's given so much to me and my family. Guys, today I have a very, very special intro for a special podcast. I was blessed by being asked by the customer success manager, I think that's her title, at Follow Up Boss, an amazing human, Janelle Quick. I met her at an event where she heard me speak at KFR and Conversion Con. And at KFR, I spoke for 4 hours straight, keeping the attention and energy in the room about all things recruiting, why it's important, how to win, how to onboard, standards, 4 hours of just tons of value. And afterwards, she came up to me and she said, "My community needs to learn from you. So would you mind offering a free webinar to the Follow Up Boss community?" So I did that this week. It's on the importance of onboarding, KPIs, standards, how to set proper expectations. And we go super deep on some of those topics that I know are helpful for individual agents, team leads, team agents, broker owners. There is something of value for everyone in this episode. And so it was so valuable that we thought, let's share it with the All or Nothing in Real Estate audience. So you're in for a treat. The episode starts right now. We're 5,000 transactions inside of, since we've been formed as a team. And we've done a lot of amazing things, and it's because of a lot of amazing people. And I'm also a coach for John Cheplak and Cheplak Live and his organization. And so it's I get the different perspective of being an operator at a high level inside of a team, and also seeing behind the curtain and coaching and consulting some of the top team leaders in the country. So excited to share some of that stuff with the audience here today.
Yeah, this is awesome. So I apologize because I'm getting an unstable connection here. So I hope this is all coming through for everyone. But I saw Matt speak numerous times, but the last time was in at John Cheplak's ranch in Louisiana. Was it Louisiana?
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Sorry. I was saying in Louisiana. Sorry. Yep. Yes. We're making that long commute every morning. So Matt talked for 4 hours, and that sounds crazy, but the entire room was just glued to Matt the whole time. So as soon as it was over, I had to make sure I was like, I have to get you on a live in the community because he has so much knowledge. So I know we're not going to talk for 4 hours today, but this is going to be really special for anyone who's listening. So Matt, kind of talk us through, like, when, from a team leader perspective, when you're hiring, what are you looking for just beyond skills? What's going through your mind when you're hiring? And if you're not doing the hiring, what are you having your admin making sure that they're doing?
Yeah, really good. To be honest, whether it's an agent, whether it's operations, marketing, leadership, anything that I'm hiring for, I operate a little differently than a lot of people, but I just have beliefs from doing this a long time. I think that corporate America is broken. And I believe that if you want different results, you have to do things differently. And so skills are actually the last thing on the list of people, what I hire for. I hire for culture first. And so I want amazing humans in my environment. And I can teach them, or our system can teach them, how to develop the skill, because skills are earned through action. And so I want people that are great fits culturally. And I want to set the standards and the expectations by hiring great people. And then over time, they learn the skills that are required for the job. And I think too many times we hire for, hey, do you have the right diploma? Did you go to the right school? Do you have experience in this particular job? And we overlook what I think is the most important part, is the people. And so a lot of my, even interviews for agents, it's just different. Everyone's like, I've never had asked these questions before. I'm like, great. I have a list of questions that we ask, and they're all designed to get to know them and get beneath the surface of who they are and how they would respond in certain situations, so that we can see if they're a good fit or in alignment with our culture and our values. I think a lot of times in interviews, mistakes that I see being made is that we give them the answers to the test before they test. right? Meaning that if I'm hiring for culture first, like the last thing that I share with them is what I'm looking for someone that fits in our organization, because I don't want to influence their answers. We have a lot of people that are great interviewers, and I'm not looking for great interviewers. I'm looking for great people. And so I ask a lot of questions and I go really, really deep on questions, which is another tip I would give people. If you ask a great question and they give you an interview answer that's surface level, just follow up with another question. Can you tell me more about that? What
Can
else?
you ask two examples, just two example
Yeah.
questions that you would ask when you're
Sure.
sitting a new agent down for an interview?
One of my core values is accept personal responsibility. I think it's so important in today's day and age, and I think it's so important for any business owner, especially in real estate, that we have an organization that accepts responsibility and puts the hand up and says, "That was my bad." I think it's crucial for success. And so one of the things that we ask for is we ask for experience. So one of the questions is, can you tell me about an experience of a leader that you had in the past that you really aligned well with? And that's where I go deeper. Tell me more. Who was it? How did you feel? What did they do that you aligned with? Those types of things. And I get to know what they're looking for or what they enjoyed in a leader, whether it's a coach, a previous boss, or maybe it's a mentor, or maybe it's their parents, someone that they look up to in their life. And then I go to the opposite and I ask them, can you tell me about a time that you did not align with leadership well? And I dig really, really, really deep on this one. I spend a lot of time on this question because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see if they have, if they I can strike a nerve of a bad experience that they've had in the past. And I want them to relive that pain. And I'm teeing them up for the next question, because after they go back and they have this, because we've all had bad experience with bosses or coaches or different things. And so I'm looking for how much trash talk do they have, right? And how much do they play the victim card? And then I follow it up with, knowing what you know now, Janelle, is there anything that you could have done differently? And
That's
I'm
where the
looking for people that say, you know what? Looking back, I probably could have done this. Instead of the people who are like, nope, they were just a jerk and it didn't work out because of them. I'm like, that's not accepting responsibility, and it's you're going to have to fight through the rest of this interview to be in our organization because we're out of alignment.
At that point, do you just maybe ask a couple more questions? But you already know, like you already checked this box in your
Depending
mind.
on how bad it is, yes, sometimes the interview gets over early, 100%. Another question that I ask is, and I think this is really important if you want to have an environment and a culture of growth, is can you tell me about a time in your past that you faced a challenge and something that you're really proud of that you overcame? Because I think we've all overcame things in our life, and I want fighters. I want people that are willing to face adversity head on and do what it takes to overcome it. And if you can have people that have that fight and that hunger inside of them and they accept personal responsibility, I think you can go a long way with those people, even if they don't have the skill.
I love that because you're absolutely right. Just having this on a piece of paper to say, I have this, I went to school for this, doesn't mean you're great at it. It's, but also being able to hire someone who is fresh eyes and you can just implement everything you have to give them and just, kick them off with everything that they need to be successful the way you want them to be successful on your team. And clearly that's working. And for anyone who doesn't know, Matt just took his team, the leader, the not the leaders, but the top performers in his team, they just got back from Mexico. So
So fun.
he's showing them, like I'm definitely hiring right. And I'm also, if you work hard, this is the reward for it. So I think that's amazing
Well, I
too.
want to go a little bit deeper on that because I think, like, if someone's looking to hire agents, or you're an agent that wants to be hired by someone, I think this plays both ways, is so many people are looking for the experience or the agent that has had past success. But here's the truth, is past success does not guarantee future success. And I know so many agents that are writing what how good they used to be. And I just have this thing inside of me that I don't want to be the person that's the analogy I give is like that you peaked in high school. And I'm sitting at the bar at 2 p.m. with my Letterman jacket on at 45 years old, drinking a beer, talking about how good I used to be at football. Right? Like, I think that we are all growth-based humans as human beings. We all have this desire for growth, and so many people give up on it. And I think the what I'm looking for in the interview is, do you still have that hunger? Are you still open-minded? Are you coachable? Do you still want to learn? Or do you think you have all the answers to the test already? Because if you already know it all, we're going to butt heads, and you're gonna have to surrender to doing it the way that our team does it, or it's not gonna work. And it doesn't mean that our way is the right way. Maybe you have a better way. But if you want to join us, we have a clear, proven process, and you have to surrender and follow that process, or it's not going to work. Once you surrender and follow it, now you can add your tweaks and your bells and your whistles and your variety to it, but you have to surrender first. And what I have found is a lot of our greatest successes of these agents that, as an example, our average agent that was with us all year last year sold 35 homes in this marketplace.
Wow.
All of them except for one started with us as a brand new unlicensed agent.
Really?
And so we spend a lot of time developing humans. We are a personal development company. We just happen to sell real estate. And when you can have that mentality and that mindset, you get to literally see people's lives transform inside of your environment. And so, but I've done the opposite. It go after the, and I'm not saying that each market is different, everyone's business model is different. This is just how we do it. Because what I've found is that we have a top producer that's going to join our organization. There's tons of tension. There's tons of expectations of they have this entitlement attitude sometimes, and they're not always team players. And we spend a lot of time working through that and getting them to get rid of the bad habits that they've gained throughout the years. That when they're fresh, we get to teach them our way, and our way is proven, and they get to success way quicker. And we don't have to battle those items of sometimes that we see with some experienced agents.
Yeah. Oh, that's spot on. Okay, now we've talked through the interview process, what you're looking for. Now they're hired. Walk us through what does onboarding look like for your team, like the first 2 weeks, or what's your process?
Yeah, so number one, clarity is kindness. Clarity is kindness. And so I always look at the interview as an opportunity. Anytime that two human beings have ever had a disagreement, it is always a result of unmet expectations. Every time in the history of mankind, and every time in the future, it always is unmet expectations. And so I look in the mirror, I accept responsibility when that happens, and I look, what could I have done differently in the interview to set better expectations? Or I revisit the expectations that were set. And so I think so many people, when you're hiring, you're onboarding, we make it sound like it's rainbows and unicorns instead of giving them clarity of what to actually expect. And so I think setting proper expectations is step one. You have to set proper expectations. And I believe in under-promising and over-delivering. And so many people do the opposite. They promise them the world, and when they get in, they are underwhelmed. I want them to be impressed and be like, wow, this is better than I expected when they get in. And that starts with setting the proper expectations. And I said also clarity is kindness. So if clarity is kindness, that also means to be unclear is to be unkind. And so many people want to tell you the highlights and the good things, but they keep the bad things, or maybe the expectations that aren't all sunshine and rainbows, away from people. And we just lead with those up front because we want you to know what to expect. And so when we go into onboarding, we're looking for three. There's three things. I've done this wrong so many times that we're constantly evolving it. Here's what we've adjusted our onboarding to. We've broken it down into two sections. We have a boot camp that is 1 week long, and then we have a 90-day onboarding. And so boot camp, one of our offices is right outside of a military base, which is where I came up with the name. And not to compare real estate to Army, but there are parallels, right? There's 9 day difference, but there's also some things that are parallel. And my belief is that why does Army have a boot camp? Because not everyone has what it takes to be in the Army. Well, the truth is, not everyone has what it takes to be in real estate. It's not the right career choice for everyone. And so, what is the boot camp designed to do in the military? I believe it is designed to set the proper expectations and weed out the people that maybe aren't a good fit for the military in week one, right? Like, let's get them out of the way. And so we have a similar model. We used to have a 2 week boot camp, and we threw everything at them. It was like drinking from a fire hose. And they just, you can't retain anything. And then also, we would spend a lot of time training people on contracts or negotiations or inspection notices or how to use the MLS and a lot of these things that agents need to know. But we would spend so much time training them on that. And then we got to the time for them to do the work, and they wouldn't do the work that was required to win in the marketplace. And so we've reversed those. All we teach you in boot camp is three things. We indoctrinate you into the culture. We indoctrinate you into the subculture. The subculture is anything about your environment that you wish would be changed, improved, or removed. I want to add something. I want to improve something. I want to remove something. In most environments that I coach and in mine for the last 3 years, it's been the same thing, and it's agent activity. We want to increase agent activity. If you have more activity, you typically get more results. And so we set clear expectations of because bringing new people into an environment changes the environment. We want to bring new people in that raise the environment. A rising tide rises all ships. So that's the subculture. And then third is the basics of sales. You pass a basic script test, you understand how to use Follow Up Boss, and you pass a presentation test. If you can do those three things in the first week and you make 500 dials, outbound dials, two leads that we give you
501.
graduate. Yep, 500 in 1 week, so 100 a day.
Okay.
Correct. And if you do that, you graduate boot camp. And then you move on to a 90-day twice a week training that is quote unquote onboarding that is a mix of 2.0 trainings of things maybe you learned in boot camp and everything that you need to know in real estate on our schedule so we can control it over a 90-day rotating schedule.
All right. Trying to see if there's any questions for you as we're doing this. Sorry, my nothing yet, but Matt, you're right. Mark, you're right. Matt is hitting the nail on the head. All right. So just out of curiosity, you have this initial boot camp that you're doing for your 1 week. And do you weed a lot of people out of that? Or
So, we've gotten better at that because we do set proper expectations,
okay.
right? And so when we first started that, yeah, it was like I struggled with getting other people in our organization because nobody wants to be the bad guy, right? And that's how it's viewed of holding people accountable. Sometimes you're viewed as the bad guy. And it took a while to instill in our environment that accountability is actually the highest form of love you can show an individual. It's accountability is not a bad thing. Accountability helps you get to where you want to go. And so if we feel bad holding people accountable, it's typically because we didn't set proper expectations in the beginning. And so we just got better at setting those expectations and those boundaries. And I mean, there's still people that say that they'll do the thing and they get in and it's different than expected. But we have, I would say over the last 12 months, 70% of agents that we hired graduated boot camp, maybe 75.
Love it. Love it. I'm reading David Goggins' book right now, so everything you're saying is like
I love it.
resonating with me from another type of my mindset. I'm like, this is good stuff.
Well, and I think too on like so let's I know that there's probably some single agents watching and they want this to be applicable to them. And so if you're an agent like watching this, I want to encourage you like these same things apply to you even if you're not on a team. And where agents go wrong is they try to solve the wrong problem or they shoot at the wrong target. Or sometimes they shoot past the target. And the reality is, real estate is a contact sport. And until you get in the connections or the conversations with another human, enough of those over a period of time, you don't know how to adjust your behavior, your conversations, or where the gaps are so you can improve. And so it takes action to build the skill and skill to get the results. And so many people are like, well, I called 10 people and no one wanted to buy a house. And it's like, well, you haven't been doing it long enough. Sometimes I'm a quotes person, so here's one of the quotes that popped in my head is sometimes you're not good at something because you haven't been bad long enough. It requires you to be bad in order to become good. And so you have to let go of this thing that we call ego, and you've got to be willing to actually do the thing that you're not good at because that's where you become good at it. And once you have done, I believe we live in a 90-day world. If you do the activity for 90 days consistently and you track the metrics, track the calls, the conversations, the appointments, if you track the metrics, now we can find the gaps because we can review the game film and we can make tiny improvements that can change everything exponentially for you. But most of the time, the problem isn't in those tiny hinges. Most of the time, the problem is in the lack of consistent activity. It requires the activity.
This is for anyone listening. This is good for not, this is good for anything in life. Anything
For
you're doing
sure.
in life, please implement this type of a mindset. All right. So, Matt, what are your non-negotiables for your team? I know you already said you have them in the CRM, you have them working, you're tracking, you're clearly looking at reporting. So, what are your non-negotiables for agents on a daily basis?
So that's a really good question, but it's a difficult, it's a challenging answer. And so I'm going to give you a political answer because agents are independent contractors, and I don't believe I removed the word mandatory from my environment years ago. I did not become a leader, and they did not join my team so that I could force them to do something they don't want to do. I used to think when I was a rookie leader, I used to think that I used to say this, is if you join my team, I will make you successful. And she's like, how egotistical was that of me? Like, number one, I can't make anyone successful. And number two, talk about not sleeping at night because of all the weight that was on my shoulders for everyone in my environment to win. And so I've since changed it. It's my responsibility. I can't make anyone successful, but what I can do and what I'm committed to doing is create the environment for you to make the choice to be successful. But the choice is up to you. And so what we do is we set out clear parameters and expectations, and it's up to you to do it or you don't. And so we operate our environment on standards. And so what that means is we have three sets of standards. Number one, cultural standards. You have to be a good culture fit, and you have to contribute to the culture. It doesn't matter how much you sell. If you're not a contributor to the culture, if you're not a good human, if you're a jerk and you take from the environment instead of contribute to, we just don't have a spot for you. And I say this out of massive respect because I've had people in my environment that have sold tons of homes. They just kind of grew away from the culture of where we were going. And so, I mean, I've fired top producers that sold two agents that sold 100 plus homes in a year. I've let go of 100 homes in a year, and we let go of them. Because if I'm going to be a person of integrity and I'm going to preach culture over sales, I have to make sure I protect the culture over the sales. And so it's just like things like that have really led to where we are consistently in the culture and the collaboration that we have in the environment, because I truly believe I've earned the trust of everyone that I'm doing what's in the best interest of everyone with every decision. And I'm leading through principles, not personalities. And I think so many people are scared to do those things because it sucks. It hurts the P&L. It's a terrible business decision in the short term, but it can change everything in the long term. And so cultural standards, like I'll give you an example. We have a sheet of this, but like one of the cultural standards that we have is be present, positive, and prepared. Pretty simple, right? If you present, here's an example of present. If we show up via a Zoom meeting, have your camera on, right? Like, or if you show up to the Zoom meeting, and I've done this before, I like to joke too, is so if you show up to a Zoom meeting, the next time you come in person, I'm gonna have a black trash bag for you to wear in the team meeting because that's how you showed up last week. Now they don't really wear it, it's a joke, but like that's an example that I give. It's like that's how you showed up. That's not present. And if you show up and you're like Groucho, like no, you got to be positive, present, positive, and then prepared. Do you have something to take notes on? Did you come to this meeting or training to learn, or did you just show up to show up? Right? It's like simple things like that that we've just really defined of like this is, and it's not say, to say like as an example, that's a definition that is fluid. It doesn't say show up to every single team meeting. Like I think that those things are like those just don't make sense. But if you don't show up consistently, you're not present. And so it gives me the ability to coach and lead people in a fluid manner to make sure you're a contributor to the culture. The next standard that we have is a production standard. And this is one where I coach a lot of team leaders through. And people mistake this. I'll give you high level. If you want more in depth, because I could do 3 hours on just this, reach out to me and I'm happy to kind of share a deeper perspective of this. But for respect of everyone's time today, our production standard, as an example, is X amount of homes per year. You need to sell X amount of homes per year in order to remain in good standing in this organization. But here's the difference. It's a standard. It's not a goal. It's not a, oh, it'd be nice if, meaning it is the bottom. A standard is the floor. A goal is the ceiling. Everyone has goals. Very few people hit their goals. You should have big goals. You should stretch for more. You should set a goal so big that you can't achieve it until you become the type of person that can achieve that goal. That's what goals are for. But you also need a floor and not less than. And I think so many people don't have that for their own business or not of a part of an environment that speaks that and actually holds people accountable to it. And so it doesn't mean if they don't sell that amount of homes that you fire them. Maybe. But you need to take proper steps in place ahead of that. So what we do is we measure it quarterly. And if you're below the standard, we have a performance improvement plan and we give you a very simple plan that you come up with. And now we measure the activity for the next quarter. If you didn't reach the standard, are you actually going to recommit to the activity that we agree upon to improve the activity so we can start to get back on track for the results? Now, if you don't hit the standard and you don't do the activity, like there's not much I can do to help you. But that's where you create an environment of everyone is getting better together. And the third thing is, I think that most teams need is a lead flow standard. I believe leads and opportunities should be earned, not given. And so what I mean by that is that I want everyone to have massive opportunity in my organization. But I also don't want to give opportunities to people who aren't going to take advantage of them. I think that lets the clients down. I think that lets the other team members down. I think that lets your community down. I think the lead deserves better, your teammates deserve better, and that person deserves a leader that will hold them accountable to actually working the leads that you provided. And so we have a standard of conversations that are required each and every week, and it resets every single week in order for you to earn lead flow, ISA appointments and opportunities from the company for the next week.
So, okay, this is all great. And you actually answered all of my questions that I was going to answer ahead of time. Coaching. I know you said you're doing quarterly meetings if there needs to be a, if there's a PIP, if they're on a performance, improvement plan. Are you coaching your agents in between that? Is there, what does that look like?
Yeah, so our organization is ever evolving. I believe we're at 38 agents right now, so it's difficult for one person to do it all. So right now, I'll speak for current space and time. Right now, for the top, say 20, 25%, they get one-on-ones with me. Typically, it's every other week, and so we go through and dive into their business. Then we have the rest of our agents that are either up and coming or they're working to become that top producer. They work with our director of sales. And then we also have our new agents that are in our boot camp because we bring on 3 to 7 agents every month, typically. And so we have a trainer that for the first 5 transactions, they have someone that is a go-to. For that. And so those are kind of the layers that we currently have of who you meet with. It doesn't mean that if someone reaches out to me and they're in the middle or a newer agent that I don't help them, but that's kind of our scheduled one-on-ones that we have with them.
Yeah, that makes sense because that's a lot on your plate already.
Yeah.
When you are sitting with them, or someone else on the team is sitting down and you're measuring this activity and you're looking this over, what are you looking at specifically? What are your top two or three things that you're looking at?
Really good question. So I believe that you must simplify in this business. Scale brings complexity all in itself. And humans, we like to complicate things because it sounds cooler. And one of my superpowers that I have is I have the ability to oversimplify everything, partially because I'm not very smart, and so I have to so that I can do it. But I also think that the simpler it is, the more likely you are to achieve it, the more likely you are to follow. But I also think here's the opposite of that. And I think the part that most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're looking back at the man or woman in the mirror, we overcomplicate things sometimes because if we overcomplicate it, it gives us an out or a back door not to do the thing. And if it's very simple and it's very clear, now we have no excuses as to why we didn't do it. But if we add some complexity to it, we make it sound cooler and we add different layers. Now it's like, hey, we kind of sort of did it. And we can give our subconscious brain like kind of gets that win. I believe in removing all of that and breaking things down into its simplest form. And it's very simple. It's done or not done. It's like there's no, well, I did it, but like we remove the yeah buts and you will have so much more success in your life. You either did or you did not. And so as far as simplicity in the database, I've spent a lot of time in this. I've met with a lot of people that are experts in this, and I've actually built a system, and I call it my database blueprint that I've created that we have been running our organization that is very, very simplified. And it has a very simple step-by-step process that if you set it up and walk through it, it is so simple. There are 6 steps. And if you do those 6 steps every day, you will win. We call it our follow-up boss win the day process. And so many people just we get lost in all of these leads and these activities. And I've just simplified it. And so I'll give you just a quick overview is like number one in follow-up boss, your inbox should be your priority. You need to clear that thing because those are so a lot of us work hand raisers in real estate. Your inbox is somebody that's like they got a flare out. Like they're like, help me. Like I need help today. They've respond. There's something that is very urgent most of the time in your inbox. So that needs to be cleared at all times. Second is your task. I don't believe in a task-based system unless it's a very specific task that is set up. So I have to follow up with Janelle Tuesday at 2:35 with this specific thing. Okay, that's when I can set a task. But if it's just a normal follow-up, I believe in setting stages that I follow up with everyone in a consistent basis inside of a smart list that Follow Up Boss has. So it's really easy to manage your system. And then, so if you clear your inbox, your task, and your smart list that we set up that are very simplified, you win the day. And if you do that, like we have massive success with those simple things. I think so many people, like as an example, I would encourage you right now, go look how many stages you have in Follow Up Boss. The answer is probably too many. You don't need them. Condense them. Less is more. Because now you're going to have to add all these different complexities and smart lists and like, let's simplify. What do you really need in follow-up stages? You need to know how, what their timeline is and or motivation, and you need a stage that applies to that. We have A, B, C, and D. That's it. Weekly, biweekly, monthly, quarterly.
Wow,
That's our
okay.
follow-up stages. Because if you don't know that as an agent, you're probably not going to earn their business anyway. And so, how often should you follow up with them based on the conversation that you have? And I think if you follow that simple process, it's a roadmap to massive success. But again, people want to overcomplicate it and they want to be the person that says, well, that doesn't work for this one in a million lead. Okay, you win. But it works for the 99.9% of others. Let's focus on those.
So I'm going to ask, as far as the dialer goes, because that's something that we always recommend to make sure that they're doing so that we can track all of speed to lead, how many conversations they're having. Is that something that you require? Or I know you said you don't enforce.
1000%.
Okay.
Yes. If it's not in Follow Up Boss, it does not happen. I
Okay.
developed that rule 4 years ago. If it's not in Follow Up Boss, it did not happen. Janelle can be an agent on my team. She can come to me and she can say, hey, Matt, I know that I saw the report and I'm not on lead flow for next week, but I had these three conversations. See, it's right here.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Janelle, come into my office. Let's go look at something real quick. And I'll pull up Follow Up Boss and say, hey, I believe you. Let me show you how to hack the system for next week. Make sure it's in here.
So this is for your lead flow standard.
Yes.
This is what you're doing. Okay.
100%.
I have a big question for you that I wasn't planning on asking, but because this comes up so often, agents are very hesitant about giving their number up. And maybe I'm not positioning this right, but it's like, this is my number.
Yep.
Well, everyone knows my number.
Sure.
I'm curious how you talk to your new agents about that number.
Number one, it's just become a standard where like we've done it long enough that there is no longer any more pushback. But it hasn't always been that way, right? I believe a lot of teams and agents go through that transition and that struggle. Number one is the truth is here's how I position it is number one, you have to position it. You have to realize that if you're able to track these numbers and you're able to show an agent how this data helps them improve their business, meaning they become efficient and effective, they do less work for more money. If you have this data, it can change everything, but you better have a track record and better be able to coach them through that, which is something that we've done consistently for many, many, many years. And so it's like, but you having the conversations, on your cell phone, I don't have any data. And it's like, I have these golden handcuffs. You put golden handcuffs on me as your leader that I want to help, but I can't. I don't have the data, right? And so now I'm just guessing game leadership, guessing game coaching doesn't work very well. And so it's the importance of that. Also, I've framed it this way is how many agents have been laying in bed at 9:30, whatever time you go to bed, and your phone. I get up early, so I go to bed early. I'm old, but your phone rings, and your spouse is laying next to you, and they're just like, oh, it's work again. How many times does that happen? How many times are you on Sunday spending time with your family, and you want to check out, and you can't because you only got one cell phone, and that cell phone that you're using that you're carrying with your family is also the one ringing for work. It's most people have a work number and a personal number, but in real estate, we think that's not normal. And so we have both now, and it gives you the ability to actually have a life outside of business. because you have your work line and you have your personal line. And if agents will say things like, well, it's my friend that I'm working with and they don't have my work number. Awesome. Send a group text. Hey, Janelle, this is Matt. I just want this other number, but whatever the number is my work number. Let's communicate on that when we're talking real estate. Thanks. It's super simple. It's not complicated. But really what it is that we don't want to let go of control because we don't see human brain is wired what's in it for me, WIFM. And we think that doing something in the CRM is not to our benefit, but it absolutely is. The more things you can put in the CRM, the better results you will have. More efficient results, more duplicatable, scalable, repeatable real estate business, which almost everyone wants. You want something that's duplicatable, repeatable, and scalable. The only way to do that is to track your numbers. And so if you don't use your CRM to do those things, you are just guessing and you're not getting the most out of your CRM that you could.
Perfect. Thank you for that explanation. It's great to hear it from a team owner of what your expectations are, because it's something that I hear so often. So I appreciate that feedback. All right. Well, we have been talking and we could keep talking. Matt is so easy to listen to and so knowledgeable. But I appreciate all of you coming today. Matt does have something to share. So I'm actually going to put this QR code up on my screen here. And let's see here. One of my screens that I have in front of me. Hold on one second and I will get up. And Matt, if you want to just explain to everyone what I am sharing here.
Yeah, so if you just scan that QR code, it'll take you to a landing page for a free download that I created. I think so many people struggle with how do I manage my database properly? How do I simplify? Matt, you talked about a simple system. What is that system? How do you set up your smart list? What are your stages? What does your workflow and your win the day process look like? How do you set up pawns if you're a team? I answered all of that and more for free in this download. This is the system that I've been running for over 3 years. We're constantly tweaking and improving, but the majority of it has been the overarching part has been the same. I've actually imported this personally. Team leaders have hired me. Top team leaders have hired me to put this system and coach them on how to use it inside of their database. And they've paid me thousands of dollars to do so. And I'm giving it away to your listeners today for free. So if you download that, you will get my database management blueprint that if you implement it, you will become more efficient, more effective, and you will sell more houses with less leads in less time.
Amazing. Y'all, this is awesome. I hope everyone's scanning this right now. I am going to, for anyone who's not on this live right now, but this is recorded, it is going to live in the community. I'm also going to have it in the comment section for you to go back to later. All right, I'm going to stop my sharing here because I want to see. I saw a question pop up and I want to make sure I get it addressed. Yes, there is a replay. I just answered that. Matt, have you had to fire agents that did not work out? I think you did answer that, but I see too many teams or brokerages will accept anyone that can fog a mirror. Do you believe in the saying slow to hire, quick to fire, or do you put the extra effort to try to change people?
Yeah, really good. So I'm going to give you a complicated answer. That's a really good question, by the way, whoever asked that, really good question, because there's a lot of delineation inside of that that not a lot of people give clear answers to. So I'll do my best. The answer is I don't do any of what you shared because I do things differently. And so I think slow to hire is broken. Why are we going to be slow to hire? What I believe is I ask those series of questions and are they a good human that we alluded to earlier inside of the interview questions, but I don't want to have this big roadblock that prevents people from getting into my environment. And so I want to make sure they're a good person in the interview. I want to set proper expectations and then we put them into boot camp and see how they actually are in action. And they earn the right to continue through the onboarding if they graduate boot camp or not. And so I think slow to hire is broken. I used to have like all this tech and different things because I didn't want to hire the wrong people. I wanted to quote unquote protect my culture and all of these things that like I've went through and learned from that I don't do it that way anymore because what I found was it created all of these roadblocks in getting agents in my organization when my goal is to get agents in my organization. My intentions were I don't want anyone to use their words that just fogs a mirror. I agree with that. I want to have the right people in my organization, but an interview doesn't tell you who's right. A one-way video interview that I used to require doesn't tell you who's right. What tells you who's right is you do your best in the interview, and then you get the people that pass through the interview into the boot camp and see how they perform in action. And that is the separator. If you graduate through boot camp because you're willing to do the work, you're still good. Again, indoctrinate the culture, indoctrinate the subculture, and you can learn the basics of sales. If you can do those three things, we will onboard you for the next 90 days and see if you can hit our onboarding metrics in order to remain on the team. And so, like, that's the system that separates people. And so instead of being slow to hire, I'm fast to hire, but the standards and our processes are fast to self-select people out if they don't hit them.
And those questions that you're asking in the interview process before the boot camp are
Correct.
really digging into that to make sure you get the right people into the boot camp.
That is
So
correct.
all of that culminates into why you are clearly so successful. So we all know that when, for those starting out who are watching this right now, whatever it is you're doing in life, the best advice I was ever given is go to someone who's doing what you're already doing, talk to them, see what they're doing. And that's what you want to do. So Matt's doing it. He showed us, he's given you the blueprint. Scan that. Matt is open to talk. He's an amazing human. So I hope all of you got some really good nuggets out of today. I know I did. Matt, thank you so much for your time today. This was excellent. I really appreciate it. It was a great way to wrap up our January onboarding. So thank
Well,
you.
I appreciate the invite and hope it was valuable to you and your audience. Thank you so much.
So good. All right. Well, you all have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.